I would ask you to turn to God's Word to the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 25 is a chapter that contains three parables of Jesus. Start of the chapter, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Then there is the parable of the talents. And then there is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And all three of these parables speak to us of what it will be like when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again to this earth. At the start of chapter 25, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be," and it tells us what it will be like at that time. I want to consider tonight the first of these three parables, the parable of the 10 virgins, a parable that teaches us that we need to be ready at all times for that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth. There are three things that I want to speak about. The first one is that that day will come. God made a promise very early in the scriptures that we have, a promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, a promise that God directed towards the serpent, and he promised that one of the offspring of Adam and Eve would crush the head of the serpent, while the serpent would strike the heel of that crusher. And that was the promise, the first promise of a Redeemer. Adam and Eve had just fallen into sin. Sin had come into the world. The human race had been corrupted. But even then, God made the promise of a Redeemer who would come. A Redeemer who would decisively defeat the devil. Now, over the course of the Old Testament scriptures, there were many other promises that were added to that original promise. But the promised deliverer didn't come the next day. He didn't come the next week. He didn't come the next month. And he didn't come the next year. It may perhaps be the case that when Eve gave birth to Cain, that she thought and she wondered, is this the promised Savior? But it wasn't. A decade passed and there was no sign of this Redeemer. A century passed and still nothing to report. Many more centuries passed. And all of those words of promise that God gave at different times to his people, there seemed to be nothing to show for all of that. In fact, at least 4,000 years passed between when that promise was made in the Garden of Eden and the time when Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. 4,000 years is a long time. A week's a long time in politics, they say. Well, 4,000 years, there's room for a lot of politics in 4,000 years. And when that time came, and when the Redeemer came, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, most of God's people were not ready. They were not ready to receive him as the one that God had sent as their Savior. Luke's Gospel tells us of a few who were waiting and who were ready and who rejoiced that the Savior had now come. There's an old man called Simeon, and there's an old lady called Anna, and they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They knew the promises of God would prove to be true, and they were waiting for those promises to be fulfilled. But it's hard to keep on waiting when you don't know when something's going to happen when you don't know if it's going to come in your lifetime or if it will be many generations before these things happen. When the disciples of Christ watched the risen Lord Jesus ascend into heaven, there were two angels who appeared to them and told them that he would return. Well, almost 2,000 years have passed, and still he has not come. And it has been a long wait. Yet it hasn't been as long a wait as it was from the promise to Adam and Eve to when Christ came the first time. And just as he surely did come the first time, so he will surely come the second time. The amazing thing, in a sense, is that he came the first time, because that first coming of Christ was to involve so much suffering, so much that was difficult for our Lord Jesus. When he comes again, there'll be no suffering. When he comes again, he will come in triumph, and he will know nothing but victory. And yet, he still hasn't come. At the moment, there is something that is holding him back. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He says he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And when all those for whom Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, when all of those people are brought to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, he will surely come. In the parable that Jesus tells here in Matthew 25, there is a reference to the necessity of waiting for something which will nonetheless surely happen. We're told in the parable that the bridegroom was a long time in coming, but he did come. And elsewhere, the scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom, and the scriptures speak of the church as his bride, and we are assured that that is a marriage that will certainly take place. So just as surely as the bridegroom in the parable came, so the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And we shouldn't allow any doubts to enter into our minds about that. If Christ came the first time when it was so difficult and that meant so much pain and heartache for him, what possible reason could there be for him to not come the second time when it will be glory for him? So this great day of Christ is a day that will come. We have to wait, but that day will surely come. And we should have no doubts about that. But then this parable teaches us not just that that day will come, but it teaches us how, on the one hand, there are some who will be ready, and on the other hand, there are others who will not be ready. And I want to think, first of all, about the parable and how it teaches us that some will not be ready for that day that will surely come. We're told of how there were 10 virgins, and they all had lamps, and they hoped to go out in procession to meet the groom when he came to be united with his bride. But the groom took a long time to come. It's usually the bride that takes a long time to come in our culture. But in this parable, it was the groom. He took a long time to come. In fact, he doesn't appear until midnight. And by that time, all the virgins or bridesmaids, they have all fallen asleep. And when they awake, five of them are ready and five of them are not. For five of them, their lamps were going out. The other five couldn't give them their oil because they wouldn't have had enough to go round. And so these five virgins who are unprepared, they have to go off into the night in a what was surely a fruitless search for oil. And while they are away looking for oil, the bridegroom comes. And when the unprepared virgins return, they find that the door to the wedding venue is firmly shut against them. And when they cry out to the bridegroom to let them in, they are answered with the words, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." And the Lord Jesus gives us this parable as a warning. People are like these virgins. There is a message here that we should not miss. The virgins who were ultimately excluded from the wedding feast, they had initially seemed to be doing what was right and what was appropriate. But it was just an initial burst of enthusiasm. And in the end, it was clear that their attention was not really fixed upon the bridegroom. For them, he was not the big thing. Their lives did not center around the bridegroom. They had a different agenda. And sometimes the scriptures show us that's the way it is with those who seem to be followers of the Lord Jesus. There are people who seem to have responded positively to the message of the gospel. They've seemed to make a good start in the things of God, but they never make it to the finish line. And that's one of the sad realities of life within Christ's church. For a while, people can seem to be committed Christians. For a while, they seem to be just like others who seem to be committed Christians. But in fact, they have never really truly been converted. They have been building on the sand rather than building on the rock. We looked in recent months at the book of Hebrews, and there's the warning there about those who have been enlightened by God, those who have tasted the heavenly gift, those who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age. The warning is that if they fall away, it's impossible for them to be brought back to repentance. There are other passages in the scriptures that warn us of the danger of being turned away on the last day. Jesus, when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 from verse 21, he teaches, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name?'" And Jesus says, "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And that is what the bridegroom says here in Matthew 25, verse 12. "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Jesus declares that there will be many, many who will be surprised when Christ returns, because they'll expect to be accepted by him, but they will not be. And the focus in this parable is on the truth that it'll not be good enough to be getting ready when Christ comes. We have to be ready before he comes. And if we're not, well, then we have no excuse. There's been plenty of time to get ready. It's not that today, for the first time, we've heard that Christ is coming back. If the bridegroom had come early, the excuse could have been made that there wasn't enough time, but he didn't come early. He was a long time in coming. And for people like us, there's been plenty of time to get ready for Christ's return. Jesus teaches that some will not be ready. And he chooses the number 10, and of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids, there were 5 of them who weren't ready. But then, on the other hand, there were 5 who were ready. And let us think about how Jesus is teaching us that when he comes back, there will be some who will be ready. The other 5 virgins, they were prepared, and they did go in with the bridegroom when he came. They went into the banquet, and they were with him. And Jesus exhorts us to be like these 5. He says in the closing verse of the parable, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." We know that he's coming, but we don't know when he's coming. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know the month, we don't know the year. We don't know when it will be. We don't know if Christ will come in our lifetime. We don't know if this present world still has more thousands of years to operate. And since we don't have a specific time or even a rough idea as to when Christ will return, we have to be constantly ready. And that is what Jesus is teaching in this parable. Each day we must be ready because we don't know what day he will come. If you're ready each day, then you will be ready for the day when Christ comes. I came across some information about horses. That is interesting. A horse has a different kind of eye from the way our eye is structured. A horse has 2 focal points on its retina. We have just 1, but a horse has 2. A horse has 1 focal point that enables it to focus on the grass that it's eating. It has another focal point that enables it to scan the horizon. So it's able to look at things that are close up, and it's able at the same time to look at things that are far away. I don't know if there's other animals that are the same, but apparently this is true of horses. And in a spiritual sense, this is the way God teaches us that we should be. We need to be able to focus on the things that we're doing here and now. But we also need to have our focus on what lies beyond the here and now. We need to have a focus on the future. And what we do here and now should be done in the light of what is out there in the future. We are to have a readiness, a preparedness for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus tells us that we are to watch. We don't know the day or the hour, and therefore we are to watch. Now, that doesn't mean that you should feel guilty if, as you think back over the past week, and you think to yourself, well, I have never really once thought Jesus might come today. That's not what Jesus is speaking about. Wondering if he will come today is not the same thing as being prepared for him coming today. The important thing is to believe that Christ is coming again and to be ready for that time that we cannot know in advance. We are to live life in the light of this truth that he is coming again. See, the five foolish virgins, they acted as if maybe he wasn't coming at all. They weren't ready for his coming. But we need to be ready. And what does that mean, to be ready? Well, the Apostle Peter writes about that in 2 Peter 3, verse 11. And he talks about how when Christ returns, this world as we presently know it will be destroyed. And he says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And he answers his question. He says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Peter says, we ought to live holy and godly lives. Some people make the mistake of being preoccupied with the prophecies of Scripture, and they try to pinpoint the year and even the very date when Jesus Christ will return. And that is not what Christ teaches us to do, and that is not what he wants us to do. Certainly we should be familiar with the things that the Scriptures teach us are to happen before Christ's return, but Jesus says, you don't know the day, nor the hour. And it's not our job to prove him wrong. It's our job to accept that that's true. We don't know the day or the hour. And Peter teaches us that it's our job to live holy and godly lives. And he's teaching that if you're living a holy life and a godly life, well, then you are ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're living for Christ, you are prepared. You have been wise. Now, the parable that follows this parable is the parable of the talents. And the parable of the talents shows us what we're to do while we're waiting for Christ's return and how we're to use all that God has given us for the good of his name. Our waiting for Christ is not to be an idle waiting, but it's to be a busy waiting. And what we must avoid is to lose sight of either one of those thoughts. We're not to neglect the Lord's work because we say we're waiting for his return. But we're not to get so caught up in the things of here and now that we lose sight of the fact that he is coming back. One day, every Christian will gladly leave aside all that has occupied them and kept them busy in life. All of that will seem of very little importance at all. And the cry will ring out saying, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then we will know that the day has come. God always said it would come. And one day it will come. And God's people will know that their hope has not been in vain. The Lord Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We need to trust in Jesus Christ every day of life. Every day we need to look to him for forgiveness. Every day we need to embrace him as our Savior, as our hope for eternity. And every day that we're looking to Christ, we are prepared. We are ready. This parable assures us that when the bridegroom returns, there will be those who are ready. If we're in Christ, we are ready. If we're looking to him, we are ready. We don't need to do any last minute rushing around looking for oil the way those foolish virgins were doing. We don't need to make our peace with God. We don't need to sort the world. If we are looking unto Christ, we are ready. And his coming will not send us into a panic, but it will rejoice the hearts of God's people. This is what it's all been about. He is surely going to come, and those who truly are his people will be ready for that coming, ready to embrace the Savior that we've been trusting in, the Savior that we've been looking to day after day after day, when he hasn't come, but one day he will come. Amen.